Well, good morning. We've been on this series about being formed. It's this idea that you guys and me and everyone that's alive is in an active, unintentional formation process. You're being formed by family, by social media, by news, by TV, by the rest of media, by your own thoughts, by the sin done to you and the sin that's in you. You've been formed by your friends and by your workplaces, and you don't really think that you are, but we finally realize that when we open up the Word of God and look at His truth, we go, oh, wait a minute, that's not at all like I think. I love conversations with new believers, and it's amazing, and I'm just going to leave it at that, that it's amazing that they'll kind of say, well, this is how it works. And I'll kind of chuckle, and I'll say, can we just open up the Word of God? Well, sure. And so we open it up, and we kind of read stuff, and they go, whoa, well, that doesn't sound at all like I think. Right. That's why we love the Word of God as the center line, the truth, the plumb line of our life, because we've all been formed and don't realize it. We all have faulty thinking. We all have brokenness inside of us, like we talked about earlier, and Jesus wants to transform us into His image. And so there's this exciting adventure that goes beyond belief. How many have ever heard of the band Petra? Oh, a few of you guys. You are old. You are old, yes. They had an album called Beyond Belief. Beyond Belief. Beyond Belief. And that's kind of what we're talking about, is going beyond just being a believer. And that's not a bad word, and that's not a bad thing. But in those times, being a believer meant there was action with it. If you believed it enough, your life reflected it. And so that's what we're talking about, is this beautiful Beyond Sunday. And Sunday's part of it, but beyond just believing in the Lord, this relationship with Jesus that is so life-giving and so fruitful. I love, for a season of time, and I still do some, but for a season of time, I really read a lot of atheists that had become Christians and was really into apologetics and kind of being able to defend our faith is kind of what that means, is like rationally, instead of just saying, well, the Bible says, how would you talk to someone that God is real and Jesus is real and this is the way to salvation? How would you talk to someone if they didn't believe the Bible? Because often our thing is, well, the Bible says, well, what if you can't use that? What if they don't take the Bible as credible? So, you know, some of those things. Well, anyways, often what they say, and this is so true of so many of their stories, they say, then we found Jesus through the Word of God and the understanding. They'll always say things like this: He's the most beautiful person we've ever encountered. And they've tried all these other religions, and they've followed, you know, religion of humanism and scientific understanding and Buddhism and you know, all these other things. And then they say, and then we get to Jesus, and you know, almost always they end up becoming Christians, and they'll say, we met Jesus. And they say, whatever else is true or not true, Jesus is the most beautiful person that we've ever encountered. His character and His nature, who He is. So we're inviting through this series of you, more than just believing in a God that's far off, being intimately invited into a relationship with Jesus that's personal and private and public and self-sustaining and dependent and just this wild roller coaster of walking your life with Jesus. And so that's what we're about. That's what we're trying to talk about. And so we talked about a rabbi, and a rabbi was a teacher that you had disciples, had apprentices. And the goals of an apprentice, we talked about, is to be with your rabbi, or our rabbi is Jesus. So to be with Jesus. Last week we talked about being like Jesus, and then eventually doing what Jesus did. And that was Jesus' goals with His disciples. Come follow me. Come, like, right? That was his first command. Come. That's like the entrance. Get over where I'm at, then be with me. Right? And then it was, as you're with me long enough, then you become like me. And then once your training is complete, then you'll do what I did. And that's what Jesus is talking about. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today, about doing what Jesus did. I'm going to read a verse out of 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. And it says this: but if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. So we're starting right off about how are we ordering our life. So just stop looking at that for a second. Look back here for a second. And the question is, how are we ordering our life, right? What are we basing our life on? You're all obeying something. You are all obeying something. And in this series, you're hearing a lot of those things, right? We're all being formed. It's just by what are you being formed by? And you're going to hear a couple more of them today. One of them is, you're all obeying something. Not me. I don't obey. Oh, yeah? You're obeying the desires of your flesh, the Bible calls it. Right? And as we talked about earlier, we're all broken and we're all affected by sin. So you're obeying these urges and these desires that then master you, right? Anyone ever tried to quit something you couldn't quit? Right. That's mastery, right? You're obeying these things. Just try giving up sugar for a week. See what happens. Oof-ta. That stuff is like cocaine, man. I don't know. Help us, Jesus. I used to watch, because we've already established you guys are old, Little House on the Prairie, right? And it was like, you got like a candy, right? A candy, maybe. And like, I don't know I think it would be better if we go back to those days where sugar is expensive and you can't get things because, gosh, that's all I want. Anyways, so if anyone obeys his word, if anyone organizes their life around following God's word, then love for God is, like, our love for God then is made complete. It's brought to fulfillment is one of the words. It's like finished. It's made perfect. So the way that we love God, the way that love matures is organizing our life. It's almost like being formed and transformed, isn't it? It's what are we organizing our life on? So our love for God then gets this fullness, right? We can say, I love God, and that's kind of it's just a statement. But when we order our life on his word, when we align our lives with obedience, obeying his word, then this love takes on a love of its own that's full and vibrant. We just went through Valentine's Day. My daughter, where's she at? Where's Aspen today? Not here? Oh, Aspen, you should come to church. She kind of manages the flower shop in town. And it was really busy because a lot of people were figuring out how to say, I love you, right? But if there's not more actions than just flowers, how vibrant is that love? Like, we want the flowers, right? Well, not me. I don't care about flowers, but, you know, girls do anyways. But you know what I mean? Like, how many women would be like, buy me flowers on February 14th? Yeah, like most of you would be like, yeah. And then that's all you ever do to show your love. How many would sign up for that program? Gross. Like, that's not vibrant love. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Like, if you obey God's word, then this love isn't just a Valentine's Day bouquet. It's a vibrant life of following Jesus. You get what he's saying? It's not this, we read it like, if you better obey my, and it is, but like, you got to, we can't say we love the Lord and have it be a vibrant, life-changing, transforming love for God and his love for us if we're not organizing our life on obeying his word. He says, this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him or be a follower of Christ must live as Jesus did. Whoa, all right. It's kind of throwing down the gauntlet today. All right, if you're saying that you're a believer in him, if like, okay, you're telling me, all right, you got the apprentice shirt on, right? You're a plumber or whatever. If you're an apprentice of Jesus, if you're saying that, then that means that the third part of this, you know, be near, be with Jesus, be like Jesus, do what Jesus, it means then you got to do what Jesus did. You got to follow, you got to walk out what Jesus did. So we're going to talk a little bit about doing what Jesus did. John Mark Comer, we've had a lot of quotes from him. He kind of categorized like the areas of Jesus' life. And he put them into kind of three, and these aren't like be all end all categories. It was just to help him kind of just like, how do I do what Jesus did? And so he kind of put the categories of Jesus' life into like three spaces, kind of think about it. And they don't all fit in these, but he said the first thing that if you just look at the overview of Jesus' life, if we're going to do what Jesus did, that's what we're signing up for. We're being Christ followers. We're doing what Jesus did. That there was things he would put in the category of kind of making space for the gospel. And all these are going to be about the gospel. And do you guys know what the gospel means? What a different translation of that is? Gospel means Good news. You guys, like, I could tell you were scared to say it. Good job. It means good news. It means the good news. And this, the gospel isn't a Christian word. It was a word in the Roman, like when there was a new emperor, like a new king, a new Caesar, right? If they won in battle, they would go tell the gospel to all the people that there's a new king, right? There's a new leader, and this is good news, right? And Jesus came with his kingdom saying, hey, we've got a gospel, and it's his gospel, the gospel of the good news. So first thing Jesus did is he would, and this is what John Mark calls it, kind of making space. I would just call it relationships. Doing relationships, right? Jesus was just with people. Every time you open your Word of God, you see Jesus was either with people or he wasn't with people, by himself, right? That's one of the other, that's some of the habits that we're going to talk about in the upcoming weeks now. But he would get off by himself to pray, but when he wasn't praying, he was with people. He was connecting, and he was practicing hospitality. And sometimes he just went through, hey, you guy up in the tree, come down here. I know you want to see me. What is Zacchaeus? I'm going to go to your house today. Like, let's have lunch. Like, I'm homeless, so like, it's not going to work, but I'll go to your place, right? And Jesus was just constantly doing that. He was constantly meeting with people. He was constantly relational. And I don't know if any of you guys know much about AI, or if you're just terrified of it, or if you're just really excited about it. Two companies last week each dumped $200 billion into AI research, and neither one of them were Microsoft or Google. Those have dumped their like trillions of dollars into, like, that's where we're going. And because we're so fragmented and the human condition is so broken right now, this, what we're doing right here, right now, we went through, you guys remember, it was a few years ago, COVID or COVID or something like that. And so in our community, in the pastoral community, in our leadership community, not just at this church, but like nationwide, we're going, what does this mean? Everyone's doing church online now. What is that? You know, so some churches did, and some were slow to adopt, but we did. We have video now and whatever. That's why we have video now, because of COVID or whatever. And so in our blogs and in the videos that we watched and the leadership conversations was, is everyone just going to do church online now forever? And the answer is no. The answer is wholeheartedly no. In fact, some of the biggest churches actually stopped doing video completely. Stephen and Trisha went there. That doesn't help you any. I can't think. I just about got it. Passion Conference, I think it is. What's that pastor's name? Louis Giglio. Got it. I got it. I came up with it. I found the right file. Out of whatever there is in his church, 12,000 or something like that, they just stopped doing video. They just stopped. They made a decision. They're like, this isn't healthy for our church. They need to be here. Because there's something that happens flesh to flesh, face to face, that, like, we're thankful for technology, thankful that we can get that stuff out. People watch our videos. That's great. But face to face. And I'm just putting this out here. This is not the word of God. This is me this morning. This is my opinion, that there is going to become a new commodity on in-person gatherings that we've never seen before, because everything is fragmented out there. And if you go online, you don't know what's real and what's not real, right? I see videos all the time and I'm like, all right. Does he have two hands or three hands? Okay, you're just trying to figure out if this is AI or it's so. Give it another year and you won't know what's real. You won't know what's real. And that whole AI is now just in everything. And so I'm just saying, there's already a huge, massive market for AI companionship. I've tried human friends and they don't work very well. I've got a friend, and so Marnie had something that she doesn't use AI, but she had this one thing, and she was reading it to me, and like Marnie and I were both kind of choking up, because it was so accurate, and it was so heartfelt, because we have such a lack of real human connection, that this creature, I don't even know what else to call it, this technology has this ability to make me feel loved. I'm warning you. You very rarely hear your pastor warn you. Maybe I should more, but right. But I'm warning you. I'm warning you about the danger of letting your soul get connected to AI. It will lead to a demonic place. I'm not saying AI is demonic. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you let your soul get connected and a bond forming, that's not godly. Okay? So be really careful about getting needs met. Use it as a tool. That's fine. I don't use it except it's in everything. It's in whatever. I don't intentionally use it. But, gosh, the brokenness of our human connection. We don't do community anymore. And so the church needs to fill that void. And so this, what we're doing, Sunday mornings, this is going to help. Because now you don't have to wonder if I'm AI. You can come up and smell my stinky breath. Right? You can see my sweaty arm. Like, I'm real. Like, you don't have to wonder if I'm a creation of something. You'll be like, all my faults and all, you'll be able to know that at least what I'm for real standing here. And the people around you are at least for real. And you'll be able to have human touch and prayer and interaction and worship together, right? So I'm just warning you to watch out for being pulled away, because that's when you're deceived, and that's when then Satan just comes and just attacks your life. Sorry, that was more than I anticipated saying on that, but I just want to warn you about that. It's so seductive. Someone's finally telling me everything that I've been wanting to hear. That's how affairs happen, and that's how AI happens, right? So just be careful with that. This is in Romans 12:9. Just kind of fits with what I'm talking about here. Just making space for the gospel. Here's a command. These are commandments. These are commandments. Don't just pretend to love others on Facebook. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Well, that doesn't go far in 2026. It does in the church. It does here. We're cultivating that because it's the word of God, and it's our plumb line. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them and always be eager to what? Say it together. Practice hospitality. That's a commandment in the word of God. Marnie and I did really good for about 3 years. And our goal was to have someone over every single month, at least once a month. We tried to do more than that, but at least once a month. And we wanted people in our house, and we wanted to connect people that had never been there before. And we just wanted to sit and eat with them and connect with them, go out to lunch, you know, like do that kind of thing. And we haven't been that good at it. So we've renewed that this year in 2026. We're like, all right, we got to have more people in our home, because tell you what, this is a holy space. This is a holy space. We see glimpses, like, who's got a physical Bible? Anyone have a paper Bible here? Do you have one here? Jerry, come up here. Just come up here. I want to do this. We're doing all kinds of things that I did not have on my list today. We'll see if we can make it through any of this stuff. All right, here's a physical Bible. Here, right here. Here, hold this. Okay, here's the entire Bible right here. Okay? Can you see that? That's the whole Bible. Let's see. We're going to go to... There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Do you guys know what the Gospels are? They're letters, and they're the recordings of Jesus' life. That's how big the Gospels are. Right here. Can you see that? It's really small. Okay? That's the recording of Jesus' life. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate that. Always be ready with the word of God. So that little bit. So they didn't, and a lot of it repeats, right, from gospel to gospel. And so there's not a lot of it that's recorded. So they had to, like, be really intentional about what they recorded. Are you with me? Like, this little sliver, these four books in the whole Bible, right, these four gospels talk about the life of Jesus, and they record what Jesus did. What percentage of that recording of what Jesus did was around a table or in a person's home? Have any guesses? 43%. 43% of every interaction we see with Jesus, dude's having food with somebody, he's chilling out at someone's home, he's reclining at a table, like Jesus is with 43%, close to half of every interaction we have recorded of Jesus, he's with people in their home. or eating or rubbing shoulders, right? Not ministering. He's ministering. But he's creating space. And I just want to challenge you guys. Our world is desperate for connection. Well, I don't like people in my house. Well, get over it. I would challenge you. Go out to Rosalie's, right? Support our local restaurants. But if you haven't been out to eat with someone for a while, go out to eat with someone and create space for the gospel. Make space. Make connection. Love people, right? Well, I don't know. You can do it. You can do this. People are scary, but that's all right. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You can do this, right? You can have courage. So that's just kind of the first thing that John Mark kind of, how do we live like Jesus lived? Jesus was with people, right? And in 2026, there has never been a time in history where people need you more than they need you right now. People are so hurting. They're so broken. They're so in need of healing. Do you agree or not agree? You just feel like you're getting roped into something, so you're not going to agree with me. But they are. Any little oasis that you see where people are getting healed, that people just flock to that. How do I get my insides to work right? And so as you build relationships, people just want, they're just soaking up the gospel. We talked at the end of the year about all these just different little breakouts of revival, just God doing things. I just don't even share. They're all the time. SEU University, all these kids are coming to Christ, repenting of sins. Like, that just happened over the weekend, and people are sending me stuff on that. Just all these different people that are finding Jesus, and they're going, I have tried everything in the world, and I'm still broken and shattered. And they find Jesus, and they go, he has answers, right? And what if people don't, there's a verse, there was an old song from the old AG days, like, how beautiful on the feet are those, what is it called? Who bring good news, yeah. Isaiah, it's that verse of good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news, like, our God reigns, that's what it is. There we go, got it. See, the files are there, they just open slowly. We'll get to them. But your feet are beautiful. Look at your feet. Say, those are beautiful. You have beautiful feet. Why did Isaiah write that those feet are beautiful? Because they're bringing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can do that over a taco. Hallelujah. Right? That's a sacred space. So open up your lives to people to have lunch. Beautiful things happen over meals. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, but beautiful things happen over meals. People let their guards down. We've had some of our best conversations, deepest conversations over lasagna. It just, your guard gets down and you start opening up about things that really need to be talked about. Just, it gives you, when you get nervous, and you just put another bite in and you just collect your thoughts and you can share again. But there's just, this wall is broken down. So the second thing he did, if you're going to do what Jesus did, then you need to proclaim the gospel. Preach the gospel. Luke 4:43, Jesus said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that's why I was sent. So if you're going to do that, if you're going to do what Jesus did, part of it is proclaiming the gospel. Now listen to me. All of you are nervous right now because proclaiming the gospel often is thought of doing this right here. Wait a minute. So I have to get up there and preach? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you're going to proclaim the gospel. You're going to proclaim the gospel. Very few of you will ever stand up with a microphone or in a podium somewhere or up in front of a synagogue or on a street corner, right? Very few of you will. But all of you will proclaim something. And you're all proclaiming a gospel. Listen to it. I only have one John Mark quote today. He says, the question is not, are you preaching the gospel? The question is, what gospel are you preaching? All of the gospels, their message is about, listen, your gospel says, here's where my hope lies. It's about where human history is going. It's about where the dangers are. It's about where salvation is to be found, where we can find community, and how to live a good life and become a good person. Everyone is preaching a gospel. Apprentices of Jesus are those who preach his gospel. You have a gospel. You have a good news that you've formed in your mind. I don't know if it's the gospel of Jesus. That's what we need to get reformed into. Every one of you think, here's how to live the good life. Here's where the evil is. Here's what good is. Here's what moral is. Here's what, right? Here's how to be happy. You just need the right investments. You just need to not be with the haters. You just need to be, right? And you all, right? Come on. You all got gospels. I see them all the time on Facebook. You put your gospels right out there. I'm just kind of picking on you, sort of. I'm kind of a little bit picking on you. Because we're all human in this place. We all have our version of what we think is going to bring fulfillment, happiness, and how we live the good life. But Jesus gave us the ultimate gospel. And if we're not preaching his gospel, we need to get reformed into what his, like, we're all like, every man for himself. And Jesus is like, first will be last, right? His gospel is different than your gospel is. All right, enough on that. You're starting to hate me now. The third thing, I'll just make you nervous. Third thing that Jesus did is he demonstrated the gospel. So if you're going to live your life like Jesus lived, you're making room for the gospel. You're not being a jerk. You're being loving. You're being kind, and you're practicing hospitality. You're inviting people in your home. You're having lunch. Invite someone out for lunch. Just invite someone. Just tell them they're nice, right? Just, wow. Do we need intervention? Okay. So tell them that you want to be with them. Go buy them lunch. And then find out what gospel we're preaching. What am I really believing that leads to the good life? It's Jesus's way. And the third thing that Jesus, if I'm gonna really do what Jesus did, if I'm gonna be an apprentice, if I'm gonna end up walking that out, then I've got to do what Jesus did. And one of those things is demonstrating, not just talking about, but demonstrating the gospel. How does he do that? He did it more ways than this, but these are just a few of the ways he did it. Jesus healed the sick. We did that this morning, right? We prayed for the sick to be healed. Amen. That's what Jesus did. So we're doing what Jesus did. He did miracles. We can do miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. He had prophetic words over people. Ever had someone, a Christian, come up in your life and they prayed a prayer or they just had a piece of advice for you and you just knew that was God? It just felt different. It was felt, and we use heavy in a good way, in Christian way. You just felt the weight of that it carried, like, whoa. Or maybe they said something they couldn't, there's no way they could have known. We would call that a word of knowledge. They couldn't know that. How did they know? Right? Prophetic words, prayers, right? We're going to keep talking about that. Serving others. That's what Jesus did. That's what we're going to do. We're going to practice the gospel. We're going to demonstrate the gospel. Sacrificial living in 2026 looks really weird because no one's doing that. Sacrificial living, casting out demons. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. Well, demons want to talk about you. We get nervous about that kind of stuff. You just know that Jesus is the highest authority, and that's all you got to know, right? We go into houses. We cast out demons, right? Did that for people that are sitting here this morning. It's not a big deal, right? Sometimes they're squirrely. So we just get out of here, right? We don't have to scream and holler. We walk in the authority of Jesus Christ. And I don't have a special collar or cloth. You have the same power that I have. It's the power of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, the authority of Jesus Christ. We cast out demons. Casting them out of people gets a little trickier. Right? We've got a great workbook that you can start with. Jesus went around bringing peace and presence, right? And the list would go on and on and on. But doing what Jesus did. All of those things you've been called to do. What? Who, me? Yeah, you. Look at your neighbor and say, yeah, you. Yeah, you. Yeah, you. All of those things. You're not just meant to find peace. You're meant to bring peace. Hold on. I was going to move on, but I'm just feeling kind of the nudge on that one. So many of us in our church today are looking for peace. You're not just called to look for peace. You're called to bring peace. Called to, yes, find it. Yes, we're going to encourage you. Yes, we're going to, I'm not yelling at you, but there's more. We're pulling the curtain back. You're meant to be peace bringers. What? I can barely make it through the week myself. That's why we're getting formed. Come on. That's why we're signing up. We're not just going to be baby apprentices anymore. We're going to do what Jesus did. It's because we're not spending time with him. We're not becoming like him, and then we can't do what he did. I can't bring it. Yeah, you can. You just need to do the stuff. We spend time with Jesus, and pretty soon I'm not just coming to church looking for peace. I'm looking for who's going to be my target today. Who needs peace? I'm going out to Taco John's this week and going to Rosalie's, and I'm looking for who needs the peace of God, because I got it. See the difference there? That's what you're called to do. I want to introduce, some of you guys know these people, Ray and Wilma Phipps. They are the cutest little buggers in the world, and they have preached at our church for years. Our church supports them financially every month. They've got missions to India and Nepal and to other countries. When Ray was 11 years old in 1946, there was a few of you guys were around in 1946, not that many of us, okay? 1946, he went to church. He was 11 years old, and he was, and it wasn't a church like this where they believe in that kind of stuff. They didn't believe in this kind of stuff. He went to church, and he was taken out of his body, and he flew around the world, and he saw a V-shaped country that he did not know what country it was, and he saw all these brown-skinned people, and he flew over them, and he saw one guy that was about a foot taller than the rest of him, and none of these people could see him. He's 11 years old. Never heard of such a thing. He's never heard of anything like this, right? And the one guy could see him, and that guy said, "Help us. We need you. We need you to bring us good news," or something like that. And 56 years later, in 2002, Ray was what? So 11 and 56, so 67 years old. 67 years later, or 56 years later, 67 years old, he walks into a conference, and one of the other pastors had brought a friend with, and it was that friend's first time in South Dakota, and that friend happened to be from India. And that guy was about 30 or 40 years old, and Ray saw that guy and said, "That's the guy from my vision when I was 11 years old." 56 years later, saw what he looked like when he was 11. That guy hadn't been born yet. That guy wouldn't even be born for another 20-some years. And Ray saw him, and he went and talked to him. He said, "Hey, we need to talk." So at 67 years old, Ray was a superintendent of schools, West River in South Dakota, and she was a teacher, and they retired. And he was praying to the Lord. He said, "God, whatever happened, what about that vision?" And he went to that conference, and he saw that guy, and he said, "Oh, 67 years old. Well, now I'll just kick my feet up and be done, right?" No. They started going to India. And they started, and it was kind of okay, and they weren't really seeing much happening. And finally, the Lord spoke to him and said, "Why don't you teach them to do what Jesus did?" And Ray was saying, "Lord, we need people to come in and heal these people." God said, "You do it." He said, I was a superintendent. I don't do that stuff. He said, "You do it." And they're at this huge, big conference, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people. And Ray is scared out of his mind. He'd never done anything like that before. He said, "Do what Jesus did." So Ray starts praying for, I mean, big healings. Like, not headaches. I mean, like all kinds of incredible, I mean, like dozens and dozens and dozens of people got healed. And so then they started a class called Doing What Jesus Did. That's the name of their class, Doing What Jesus Did. And I'm going to read you, I still do, I think, but this is an email from 2023 that they were just kind of giving an update and kind of about them and who they are or whatever, and kind of their story. And a couple slides from Ray and Wilma's story says, "All of a sudden we had open doors for us to go to India and Nepal and to train others to minister to those who had never heard the good news of Jesus Christ." Here in America, if you say the name of Jesus, most people kind of know who you're talking about. You go to India, they've never heard of Jesus. They've never heard of Jesus. Yes, there's been such an explosion of growth as previous students not only ministered in their communities, but a number of them were led to go to roughly 15 other foreign countries and set up what we call worship centers. Wow. This made 17 countries where students had gone out to just, quote, do what Jesus did, which is the name of the schools that they were trained in. So these students are just doing what Jesus did. They're apprenticing, and now they're doing. He goes on, he says this, "They willingly followed the directions and expectations to train others everywhere they went, also to do what Jesus did. Reports came in regularly of entire villages coming to the Lord," which blows my mind, "and worship centers being established right on the spot." They start a church right there. "Reports from India, Nepal, and 15 other countries came back, and our coordinators tried to keep accurate records. After 7 years of expansion, 40,000 villages were reported as coming to the Lord all over the Middle East, including India and Nepal in that year alone. We were astounded." You think? 40, excuse my language, flipping thousand villages. If there's 50 people in each village, which many of them, there's many more, but if there's 50 people that come to the Lord in that village, that's 2 million people. All because a 67-year-old guy was praying to the Lord about this vision that the Lord gave him, and God said, just go do what Jesus did. 40,000 villages, and that's just this one letter. One of the, not the very last time, but a couple times before when I saw Ray at pastor's conference, I said, can I just sit with you? I just weep when I'm with him. I mean, you're all like, really? I cry all the time and everything, but you know what I mean. But I just tear up. So does Marnie. And we just sit there. We sit there just like little kids. Like, tell us more. Tell us more. Just like, we just want to be with you. We've told him that. You walk with the Lord. We just want to be in your presence. I mean, like, he's just like, I'm just a guy. I'm like, we know. Like, I get that. But you just walk with the Lord. Like, tell us. Tell us more. And he said, so one of those times I talked to him, he said, Kirk, he said, they want me to be like a, I don't know what to call it, like a bishop or something, because there's so many pastors. They walk into these towns in India, and they say, Jesus wants to heal you, and he wants to do good things among you. Who's Jesus? He was the Son of God. He was an Israelite. He was born 2,000 years ago, but he died on a cross for your sins, and he was raised from the dead. Who's sick? And they start laying hands on sick people. Every miracle in the book of Acts they've seen. One of my favorites is the dead baby girl that fell down a well, drowned, rushed her to the hospital, which was 3 hours away. She was blue, stiff. Doctor said, what are you doing? And they're like, the parents wouldn't give up. They're like, God, we need you. We need you, God. And then they went across the mountains to another doctor. And that doctor's like, what? So all in all, it had been like 6 or 7 hours. And they finally got back and they said, there's this meeting going on. And some of these people were there. And they went and they prayed for this little girl. Came back to life. And this stuff happens all the time. And so, consequently, the people of the village get really interested in whoever this Jesus is, right? They really kind of want to know about him. So these whole villages get saved, and it's just phenomenal. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And so he said, Kirk, I've got right now all these worship sets. So they walk in the village. The whole village gets saved. They start a church there. Someone stays there to pastor it. They go to the next village. That village gets saved. They just do this over and over and over and over again. And so he said, right now I've got 1,200 pastors that need someone to lead them. Holy cow. He's like, and that's just a little sliver of them. Or maybe it was 1,200 that month and he rotates 1,200 every month. Like, anyways, he takes a different group. So they get personal contact with him once a year. He's like, I can't keep up. Like, Jesus is just spreading so fast. But they're just doing what Jesus did. Amen? They're just doing what Jesus did. They just happen to believe that Jesus told them to do what they did, and they can do that. And you can't on your own, but let's look at the words of Jesus in the book of John. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I've done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. All right. Is that clear enough? Should you do the works of Jesus, yes or no? Absolutely. Are you scared to do it? Yes or no? Yeah, absolutely. Right. But here's the kicker. You've got the Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit. And Jesus had the Holy. He set aside his divinity. You'll get some theologians that argue about this, and I don't really care what side you're on, but the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus to do the same. It's the same Holy Spirit that you have in you. It's the same Holy Spirit. Here we go, Acts 10. You know the message that God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ? Announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. Announcing the good news of peace. I just, as I was preparing this message, I knew someone needed to hear that. And I just wanted to proclaim that over you this morning. The good news of peace. The gospel of peace. Through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has been happening throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all those who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. If it was just Jesus doing the miracles, we'd be like, well, that's cool because he's God and he can do the miracles. This says that God anointed him with the Holy Spirit because he was fully God, but he was fully human. Philippians tells us that he laid aside his divinity and he ministered through the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't believe me? Let's look at Matthew 12:26. And if Satan is casting out Satan, you know, you want to talk about driving out demons, right? Anymore? Are we all on board? Everyone's excited? Okay. He's divided and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. And if I am empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons too. So they'll condemn you for what you've said. Listen to this. But if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. Here's the kingdom. Jesus is the king of the kingdom, but we have the power of the Holy Spirit that's in us, right? Luke 4 says this. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news of the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's the same mandate that is on you buggers, you church of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And this is now your mandate as well. Last one here. John 14 says, if you love me, obey my commandments. It seems like we already talked about this. This was in a different verse. John 14 says, if you love me, if you want your love to be rich and vibrant and fulfilled, and you order your life on my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world can't receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him, because this is before Jesus was resurrected, so the Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out yet. He lives with you and later will be in you. And later is right now. The Holy Spirit is in you now. And let's not be guilty of this. The world isn't looking for the Holy Spirit and doesn't recognize the Holy Spirit. And I would say sometimes the church isn't looking for the Holy Spirit and doesn't recognize the Holy Spirit. Let's not be those people. Let's be people who are friends of God, who recognize his presence and want to walk in his way. I'm just going to stop right there. We want to organize our life on obedience to God's word and let that form us into the image of Jesus. We want to be with Jesus, be like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. So one thing for sure you're going to do this week, you're going to go have lunch with somebody. Tacos is not a heavy ask, okay? You can do this. Make some connection. Make room for the gospel. And spend time with Jesus, right? Become like Jesus. Spend time in his word. And next week, we're going to start getting into what these disciplines actually look like. What do these spiritual habits look like? What can I practically do to just create space in my life to become more like Jesus? And you're going to take bold steps. Stephen already gave you that mandate this morning. Pray with people. 16-year-old girl, never been prayed with in her life. Unbelievable. We don't want people that know us to say, they've never prayed with me. We want to be people that pray with people, okay? Do the work of Jesus. Let's pray. God, we just bless this people today. I just thank you that you are a good God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking up residence within us. We ask for a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit today. Come and move, breathe upon us. Thank you that the breath in our lungs is your breath, God. Give us a great week. Bless us today in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.